Where shall we start? Let's begin with the latest coronavirus picture, a global one that you can offer us. We've just been speaking there with Lide Mavono in Suva in Fiji, where things are grim and becoming more grim as the days pass. But the more easily transmissible Delta variant begins to bite, doesn't it? And there are fears of another wave sweeping across Europe. Am I right?
That's right, Susanna.
Yeah.
That's right. Let me give you the picture from where I'm sitting in central London today, because it seems that it's quite positive, the picture here in London this morning. We are going to be getting an announcement from our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, later today. He's expected to make a couple of big announcements. And I think that the message that we're going to hear later on this afternoon is that we're going to have to learn to live with the virus. That's despite those rapidly rising infection rates that you mentioned a moment ago. It's all dependent, of course, on the data the Prime Minister will tell us. But all the signs are pointing to the fact that he's going to lift all of the lockdown restrictions in England from July 19th, so just a couple of weeks away. Now, the thing that's really kind of people are latching onto this morning here in the UK, two big things. First one, people will no longer be required to wear masks in shops, public transport. The government's likely to say this afternoon it's going to become a personal choice. The other one is the caps on numbers of people attending events. We're hearing that's going to be lifted as well. So, for example, if you wanted to have a wedding in the UK at the moment, your maximum number of people you can have is 30. We're hearing that the message is going to be that restriction is lifted in a couple of weeks' time. It seems then that we're at a bit of a crossroads. Essentially, after a year or over a year of being told what to do, you know, keeping 2 meters apart, washing your hands, keeping a mask on when you're on the bus or on a train or what have you. After a year of those instructions from the government, they're taking a step back. And as I said, it's going to be up to us, you know, individuals, whether we want to wear a mask or not. And a lot of people now, you know, you can see a clamour on either side. Some people, of course, welcoming this. They don't want to wear a mask. They want to take it off. Others very worried because they're looking at those figures. Just one thing to say quickly again from the picture here in London. Even the government scientific advisors have warned, you know, that just to be very cautious because of, you know, we've got the new Delta variant here. It is spreading across Europe. And with each case of coronavirus, scientists say there's a chance for the virus to mutate. So, you know, one of the reasons that Mr. Johnson's expected to be able to open things up in a couple of weeks is that what we're seeing with the figures is that this new variant, it may be far more transmissible, but we're not seeing the same sort of high numbers of deaths and hospital transmissions when the similar number of cases were swirling around in the UK back in January. But as I say, scientists have said, they've used this expression that variant factories, we're opening up variant factories if we just let the virus run rampant. So we're going to have to see what's going to come of this. But as I said, for some, this is very good news.
Variant factories, I'm just writing that down as a phrase. It's likely to become something, isn't it? Yes.
Well, gracious. It's that idea that, you know, with each case of coronavirus that exists, you're giving the virus another chance to mutate. And we're on the Delta variant. I'm not particularly brilliant with the Greek alphabet, but I believe that means that's the fourth, you know, such variant that we're on. Each time the variants seem to just become a little bit more easy to catch or more transmissible. And of course, there's also the argument perhaps that, you know, will new variants become resistant to vaccines? So at the moment, it seems that the vaccines that we have available to us are fighting, you know, well against coronavirus. But if we keep giving it an opportunity to mutate, that might not always be the case.
Well, we'll be watching closely to see how the optional mask choice and all other things that are optional actually pans out. I'm sure you all will be too. It must be quite strange after a year of behaving in a certain way to suddenly be faced with that new level of freedom, is it? Or are people just running at it? How do you feel, Pete?
Well, you know, from a personal point of view, you know, I have to come into central London to speak to you on for these Monday chats. And you can certainly see that it's getting more busy. If you're on the tubes, it seems that people adhere to wearing masks. You know, I would say, you know, 95% of people have a mask firmly plonked on their face. But you're beginning to see now, I think, just in shops and in other places, mask wearing getting a little bit lax. And I think that's understandable. You know, after 18 months, you know, even the most devout mask wearer, they can be uncomfortable. You can forget that you've got them. I've always got one in my back pocket, but sometimes, you know, you just sort of forget. So I think we're going to have to see that. One argument that I've seen online today, and I think it's a very good point, that the masks are there essentially not to protect the wearer, but to protect other people. So if you're giving people a personal choice to put a mask on, it's sort of giving them a personal choice as to whether they want to protect other people or not. And I think that's kind of maybe perhaps the problem with handing over that choice to people individually. Because again, as you say, you know, as I've said, you know, if you stick a mask on, it's not necessarily protecting you, it's protecting the person sitting across from you. So I'll say personally, I'll be avoiding the buses and tubes a little bit more for the next couple of weeks at least.
Indeed. Let's go to Hungary. A new law banning the dissemination of content in schools deemed to promote homosexuality and gender change comes into effect on Wednesday. What can you tell us about that, Pete?
Yeah, it's a controversial legislation. It is passed, but it now comes into effect this week. Just a little bit of background. Hungary's president, Viktor Orban, he faces a parliamentary election next year. And in the past few months, he's grown increasingly radical on social policy in a self-proclaimed fight to safeguard what he says are Hungary's traditional Christian values and Western liberalism. So he's sort of setting himself up against, you know, traditional EU values, if you like. Now, he says that the law, which again, as I said, comes into effect this week, is not aimed at homosexuals. It's about protecting children. It actually is part of a broader sort of raft of measures dealt to clamp down on paedophilia. But he says that the law is there to give parents the choice and allow them to play the main role in educating their children about sexuality. However, there is opposition within Hungary to the law. Hungary's Momentum movement, it leans left. They say it would make it hard for LGBTQ people to live in the country. So yeah, there's resistance within Hungary, and it's also setting Viktor Orban at odds with the general sort of mood in Europe and the EU as well.
And staying on mainland Europe, the Cannes Film Festival, it's actually going ahead this year.
Absolutely. A bit of razzle dazzle back in the film calendar for us. You're correct to say it's going ahead this year. It was postponed from last year. And as I understand it, it's going to be pretty much business back to business as usual. It begins on the 6th of July, so that's tomorrow. Normally it takes place in May, but they've shoved it back just a little bit because I know, obviously, to get things in order and what have you. It takes place in southern France, and it's one of the big three film festivals on the film calendar, the other two being Venice and Berlin. This is the first one that rolls around each year, and it gives Hollywood an opportunity to just sort of present its wares and show what's coming up in the coming year for movies and, you know, cinema chains to get excited about, I guess. The main prize they compete for is the Palme d'Or. Going back a few years, Pulp Fiction won it famously back in 1995, went on to be a massive movie then. More recently, you might remember the Korean film sensation Parasite. That scooped all the awards back in 2019, including being the first non-English film to scoop the Best Picture award at the Oscars. So I think this is just going to come as a welcome relief for an industry that's just been very hard hit by COVID. Some figures for you. In 2020, global box office takings fell by 80% to a meagre $7.9 billion. So, I mean, it dropped by 80%, but there's a lot of money swishing around in this industry. The picture's not really changed in China, but, you know, lots of countries around the world, cinemas have been closed for months. So I think a lot of people looking forward to a bit of razzle-dazzle, a few stars on the red carpet. I'm sure we'll see some glittery designer-made face masks, but just sort of pointing to things coming back to normal and the industry opening up, and also, you know, what movies we might be able to look forward to and enjoy in cinemas in the coming months.
Very much so. Pete Ross, thank you so much for that wonderful snapshot of the week ahead. All the very best. Thank you.
Oh, always a pleasure, Susanna. Cheers.
It's 2:11.